right. Well, again, good morning. Gosh, you guys, it was snowing today. And don't clap at that. That's not something to clap for. You guys, I'm going to just be just real vulnerable with you right now. I have two hand warmers in my pocket. That's where I'm at today. So I'm not a huge fan of the snow. It's a four-letter word. And you might, before you go on to say what part of California are you from, I was born and raised here. And which is probably why I don't like the snow. So anyway, welcome. We're glad you're here. And hey, we are in this sermon series called Rooted. And every single year at this time, we do a series in some way, shape, or form that has to do with this topic, the topic of giving, the topic of generosity, tithes and offering. And yes, you may be thinking, do you strategically plan that right before the holidays? And the answer is yes. And maybe you weren't thinking that and now you are, but we strategically planned this before the biggest shopping day of the year being what? Black Friday. Before it's all about what can I buy and what do I need to get and what thing do I need to bring home that I actually don't need, but it was 50% off and so I just had to buy it. Just a little tip, a little trick, you know, as you go shopping this year, just understand that retailers jack prices up so they can cut them down. Do you guys know that? It's marketing strategy. Just be aware of that. So if something's 50% off, it might not be the best deal. We do this before the holidays to remind ourselves going into a time of year where it's really consumeristic, really money-driven, and what can I buy and what can I get? And some of it's not bad. I don't think that buying presents for people is bad, and I'm not against holidays and buying things and all that stuff. We live in a very blessed country, and we've been blessed, and it's okay to be able to want to buy different things, but doing so with the mindset and the understanding that, first of all, the things that we're purchasing, the things that we're buying, the things that we think are going to bring joy and happiness into our life, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't satisfy, and maybe they're not going to fulfill that longing, that desire that we have in our hearts. And maybe that as we head into the holidays, maybe we do so this year with a different understanding of what Jesus' will for us is in our finances. And maybe that can shape our way of thinking and what we're buying and why we're buying it and how we're spending our money and really taking a look at how we're teaching our kids to address and go into the holiday season. And so, yes, we're going to be talking about money. And last week, Jim kind of did a big picture overview of what it means to be rooted, what it means to have your life planted by the stream of living water, to have your life built upon the foundation that is Jesus. So when the wind comes and when the storm comes, that we're going to stand firm because we're rooted in Him. So this week, we are going to talk more specifically about that and about money. Now, I think there are two different approaches to the conversation with money that can be had in a church, and I think maybe you've probably come from one of these two approaches. So this approach over here, maybe you came from a church that constantly talked about money. It was kind of that stereotypical church. It's where the church kind of gets the label of all they want is your money. Who here has ever heard that label or that accusation against the church that all they care about is money? So maybe you came from that. Maybe that was the background that you had. And maybe today you're sitting here going, I'm reserved to hear about this because I've heard about this before. And it came from a place of accusation, or it came from a place of condemnation, or it came from a place of fear. And so now you are kind of fearful of this topic of money. That's one approach. The other approach is kind of the polar opposite, and I think is an unhealthy approach as well. And it's this over here that says, let's just not talk about money at all. Because of the stereotype of all the church wants is your money, let's just not talk about it so we don't label ourselves as a church that talks about money, therefore avoiding the uncomfortable topic of money. And that's an approach as well. And here's what I'm going to tell you today is we're not going to take either one of those approaches. And we're going to kind of land in the middle here because we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to beat you over the head with it. And we're not going to make you feel guilty about it. And we're not going to condemn you or make you feel like an awful person because maybe you aren't. We're going to take this approach and just say, hey, we have to remember this one thing. I said this last week. God doesn't want your money. God wants what?
Your heart.
God doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. He cares about your heart. He cares about where your life is and what you invest in and the things that he cares about, he wants you to care about. And so this isn't a way to get money. If you're new with us today, the giving portion of our service is already over. We're not passing around buckets at the end of the service. We're not doing a big offering, a big campaign and a way to raise money. We're just simply saying, man, this is a topic that Jesus talks about a lot. And so we can't take the approach of let's just not talk about it. Jesus talked about it. And we're also going to take the approach of let's beat people over the head with it because Jesus didn't do that. But we do have to realize that this is a topic that I think the scriptures talk a lot about. And so we're going to dive into it. So let me just get this out of the way and let's just get this statement out of the way. The tricky part in both of these, okay, so we're not going to beat you over the head and we're not going to not talk about it. But every single week, yes, we are going to ask you to give your money. Are we okay? Are we okay? We're going to ask you to give your money today. Okay, real quick, because let's just break up the awkward silence. Look to your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. Okay, look to your other neighbor and say, give your money. Okay, it's going to be all right, okay? We're going to be okay. We're going to work through this. And let's just look at what God's word says about this. We're going to ask you to give money, but here's what we're going to do. And hopefully today you're going to see the heart behind this. If you ask me to do something, I can do something for only so long before I understand the why behind the what. Who here's a why person? You got to know the why behind why you're doing something. My kids, if you have kids, you know what a why person is, My son was, we were driving home the other day and he goes, Dad, someone told me that kids ask 110 questions every day. How many questions do we ask? I said, including that one, 300. You guys, they just ask questions and they want to know the why. And I'm convinced that kids, when they ask why, they're not always just pushing back. They genuinely want to know why parents ask them to do some of the crazy things they ask them to do. Why? Why do I have to clean up my room? It's my room. Why do I have to eat my broccoli? It's my body. Why? I think kids want to know why. And I think we, as followers of Jesus, should know the why behind the what that scripture tells us when it comes to giving. It's not just, it's what the Bible says, so shut up and do it. That's not the why. Let's talk about the why. So today we're going to talk about the giving of what we call our tithes and our offering. So I don't want to assume coming into this message, just because you're here at church, that you understand Christianese language, tithe and offering. You've probably heard those terms, maybe you haven't, but let's talk about those for a little bit. So a tithe, what's a tithe? All throughout scripture, we see this idea of a tithe. The tithe simply means a tenth. And so a tenth was to be given to, in the Old Testament, to the temple and to the priests. And we see this all throughout scripture, that a tithe was to be given. Now, if you actually want to get really technical, in the Old Testament, there was three tithes that were given. And so the Israelite people were actually required to give three tithes. One tithe every year was given to the priests in the temple to take care of the priests so they could minister to the people. One tithe was given every year to the priests to set up the festivals and the activities that they would do. So when Passover came, the Passover feast, they had money that they could put towards the Passover, that they could celebrate that God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And so a tithe, the tenth, went towards the festivals and the feasts that they had each year. Every third year, the Israelite people were commanded to give a tithe to the priests to give towards the poor people in the land. So on average, every year, they would give 23.3% of their income to go towards the priest, the feast and the festival, and the poor people of the land. So we're not asking you today to give 23.3% of your income, but we are saying a starting place, according to scripture, to be a person of generosity and to give according to what scripture tells us to give is a tithe, is a tenth. So when we say we're going to continue to worship the Lord by the giving of our tithes and offering, you now know what we mean by tithe. Now, an offering, what's an offering? An offering is just simply anything above and beyond your tithe. And it can be designated to whatever you want to be designated to. You can give your offering anywhere to whatever you want it to be towards, but a tithe is to be given to the church. And so this is what we see in Scripture. And so that's what tithe and offering is. Now, again, if we start to address the heart behind this, this is all because we have a desire as followers of Jesus to do things God's way and to continue to care about what he cares about and love what he loves. And in the last sermon series we did called We Are Real Life, in week 5, on our fifth essential, we talked about shepherding to spiritual maturity. So this is a part of spiritual maturity, of growing up in our faith, is learning what it means to be a faithful giver. Because if you remember last series, we talked about this. We said it's not just enough to show up. We need to what? We need to grow up. We got to grow up. Just because you show up to church does not mean you're spiritually mature. Just because you sit in the chair every single week does not mean you're becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm not saying it you aren't, but just because you sit there doesn't mean that you are. See, there's things that Scripture commands us and tells us to do that God is saying if you would just do these things, you would grow up in your faith. And giving certainly is one of those things. And so the heart behind the message and the heart behind this series is not just give money. It's grow up and allow your heart to follow what God's calling us to do. So Jesus talked about money a lot. One of the most things that he talked about, there was like the kingdom of heaven, which is like the biggest thing he talked about. And then there was like finances and resources and possessions and money and things and stuff. Jesus talked about that a lot. I believe with all my heart that if Jesus talked about those things more than most, there was a heart issue that he was going after. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 6, this is what Jesus says. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus, as he comes onto the scene and as on the Sermon on the Mount, his first sermon that he gives publicly, one of the very first things that he addresses is this reality. You're going to be torn between my kingdom and the kingdom of this world, my things and the world's things. You're going to be torn between these two things. So let's just talk about that for a second. And he's going, if you want to serve me, if you want to serve God, then serve him with all your heart. But you cannot say, I'm going to be enslaved to money, or I'm going to serve money and also be enslaved to God and serve God as well. One of those two things will take precedence in your life. Which one is it? So Jesus sets the tone. You're going to serve one of these things. Which one will you serve? And so this week, as we specifically dive in, today we're going to talk about what it looks like to sacrifice. Now, as a follower of Jesus, if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you know that there's a lot of sacrifice that takes place as a follower of Jesus. Who here knows that? Who here knows that Jesus asks us to sacrifice some things? He actually says to lay down our life, to take up our cross and follow him. If you lay down your life, you'll find it. He asks us to sacrifice things. And Paul comes along in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And this is what Paul says when it comes to sacrifice. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Now listen, just right there, if we stop right there. Give your bodies to God. I think what Paul is saying is not just simply your physical body, like offer your physical body to God. I think that's part of it. But I think he's saying everything about you, everything, the way that you think, the way that you act, your emotions, your will, your desires, your heart, your finances, your kids, your wife, your job, your future, your school, your education, like give it all to God. Everything that you are, give it to God. And then he says this, because of all he's done for you. So church, this is the why. This is the why behind the what. Give yourself, sacrifice yourself. Why? Because of all he's done for you. It's not so that you'll earn his favor. It's not so that he'll forgive you. It's not so that he'll accept you. It's not so that he'll love you. It's because of all he's done for you. And can we just stop right here? Like we cannot go any further until we, I'm gonna try to do my best to help us just wrap our mind around this for a second. Because of all he's done for you, what did Jesus do for us? And if we just think about this for a second, God emptied heaven for you. He didn't hold anything back. He gave his son, his one and only son. I mean, if you're a parent, whether you have a son or a daughter, maybe you're a grandparent, maybe you're thinking about being a parent, maybe you're a young child right now, but I mean, if you can just think for a second what that would actually be like to take your son, your daughter, your child, and send them to the earth that he spoke into existence, knowing what was coming, knowing that your son, your daughter, your child was gonna be rejected, was gonna be ridiculed, was gonna be mocked, was gonna be physically beaten, spit upon, whipped, tortured, and hung on a cross and murdered and dying the most gruesome, painful, horrible, agonizing, prolonged death that anyone's ever invented. Like, I mean, just think about this for a second. And scripture actually says it pleased God to do that. Not because he loved watching his son do that, but he loved you and I so much because of all he's done for you. And Jesus hung on that cross, and we look at the whipping and the ridicule and the beating and the crown of thorns and all the things that he went through. But it wasn't until God the Father actually turned his back on Jesus, on God the Son, that Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? I mean, Jesus literally experienced hell on that cross for you and I, so that we can be in a right relationship with God and not have to go through anything that Jesus experienced. We can have life because of his death. So because of all he's done for you, would you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is the heart behind it. And in John 3:16, a lot of us know this verse. It's probably the most well-known verse in all of scripture, and for a reason. For God so loved the world that he what? Come on, church. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave his one and only son. He gave. God didn't just say, I love you so much, so I'm going to tell you how much I love you. He actually gave. Our God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. So that's John 3:16. Now, I think this is so interesting how this all worked out. In 1 John 3:16, we start to see some very, very similar verses start to come together. 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is. For God so loved the world that he gave. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Doesn't this sound like John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. We know what real love is because Jesus gave. Now listen, so because of that, we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Okay, well, what does that look like to give up your life? Are we supposed to lay down our life physically and die for our brothers and sisters as well? Maybe. We have people that do that every day that are fighting for our country and that sacrifice their life for our country, and maybe that's what you're called to do. But in 1 John 3:17, listen to the practical way it tells us to give up our life for our brother and sister. Verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? I mean, church, scripture is saying if Jesus loved us, so let's love other people. Jesus laid his life down for us, let's lay our life down for other people. How? I'm not saying this is the only way, but he certainly is saying, man, if you have enough money to live well, which I'm gonna go out on a limb and say most of us do, and you see a brother or sister in need and you don't have compassion on that person, in other words, you don't give towards that person who's in need, how can you say you actually love God? See, the way that we love and the way that we give are tied together. For God so loved the world that he gave. What we love, we will give to. And this is the heart behind it. And so, the what is giving. We're talking about tithes and offering. The why is because of all Jesus has done for us. Now, I'm a practical person, and so I want to know the why, but I also want to know the how. And so I formulate hows. Like, so if I'm going to do something, like I have checklists, I have goals. Usually in a message, I'll say, hey, here are the three ways to do this. Like, I'm very practical. I can't stay in philosophical land too long. It hurts my head. I got to go, okay, how do I actually do this? Like, how do I actually go from point A to point B? So today I'm going to give you four things that are in your sermon notes. They're going to be up on the screen as well. Four D's in sacrificing. Ready? D number one is we're going to make a decision. To sacrifice starts with a decision. A decision to follow Jesus. A decision to place his things above our own. A decision to love what he loves and cares what he cares about and give towards what he loves and cares about. So I'm going to make a decision today. And I believe that this one right here, this decision that we're to make, this is the hardest part of all of it. The hardest part of all of it. Because Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, right after he gets done talking about giving, he goes into talking about worrying. Don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to drink and where you're going to go and what you're going to do. He says, don't worry about those things. He says, the pagans, the people that don't believe in me, the people that don't follow me, they run after those things. He says, but you, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you're worrying about, all these things that you care about, all these things that you need, he says, all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus is saying, seek first. Now, if we back up and we look at Proverbs written by a guy named Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live and the wealthiest man to ever live. Now, listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Solomon says this, trust in the Lord with all your what? With all your heart. Because today we're talking about a heart message. Because God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, submit to him, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. Okay, so if we submit to him in everything, he's going to make our path straight. Then it goes on to say, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, what you see and what you think and what you believe is the right. He said, don't be wise in your own eyes and what you see. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Okay, so live for God. And this will bring health to your body. I mean, think about this. If we do what God's calling us to do and we're not wise in our own eyes and we're not leaning on our own understanding, it'll bring health to your body. It'll bring nourishment to your bones. It's going to be good for you. He's going to take care of you. And then he goes on to say this, honor the Lord with your what? With your wealth. So trust God. Don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on what you see. Shun evil, fear God. He's going to take care of you. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. This is this idea of a tithe, the tenth, a first fruit. Honor the Lord with that. Then, if you do, your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you the things you need. It starts with a decision to say, you know what, God, I'm going to submit myself to you, my heart to you, my life to you, my finances to you. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. See, the understanding of the world would say to give a tenth of your income away, like, wait, hold on. Like, do you have a savings account? Like a financial advisor would go, you need to put 10% of your income into a savings account or put it away for retirement. And that's where you go, I do. I put a tenth of my income away for eternal retirement in heaven. And they'd go, that's dumb. You go, not according to the Lord. So this is what we're called to do. Now, so Proverbs through Solomon is saying, trust the Lord with all your heart. And that includes your finances. Well, listen to what 1 Timothy says. Again, it's very reminiscent of what Proverbs says. Paul in Timothy says this in chapter 6, verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in your money. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Here's what I think I want to squash this idea that God doesn't care about your enjoyment, that God just wants us to live this life where it's just like, you know, you got to suffer here for 70 or 80 years. And then when you get to heaven, you can live for enjoyment. But for now, you just got to kind of bear down, knuckle through it, and live a poverty life, because that's what good Christians do, is they just give away everything and don't live for any kind of pleasure on this side of eternity. It's not true. God gives us all things for our enjoyment, but it's not simply just for our enjoyment. Listen to what he goes on to say. Tell them to use their money, the things that bring them enjoyment, the things that they have, to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. In other words, God doesn't give you your stuff and your money and your possessions simply just to increase your standard of living, but to increase your standard of what? Of giving. Like there's a standard of living that I think God is going, I'm okay with you having nice things, but not at the expense of seeing a brother and sister in need and going, yeah, sorry, I can't help you with that. You know, when Aubrey and I started our journey in generosity and started being faithful and tithing, and we did that for several years, God showed his faithfulness over and over to us, over and over. In fact, I mean, one of the scriptures that we read that just like was like a sealed deal for us, it was like the only time in scripture that God tells us to test him is in the area of giving. In Malachi, he says, test me in this and see if I won't pour out blessings upon you that you won't have enough place to hold it. And so we just put God to the test and said, okay, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I don't know how we're going to be able to afford to take 10% of our income and just give it. And it's like, it's just not ours. Like, I don't know how that's going to work, but we're going to put you to the test. I've shared this story year after year, but it's a story that we go back to constantly to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. The first 2 months of us tithing, we couldn't afford electricity in our house. And so we had a decision to make. Do we tithe or do we pay our electric bill? And we decided to tithe. And we said, okay, you know what? If we have to live in darkness, we have to go to a family member's house. I mean, or we're just going to trust that God's going to provide. Let's see what happens. And both months, we received checks in the mail for the amount that we owed on our electric bill. One was an overpayment for our escrow, and another one was an overpayment for whatever. I can't even remember what it was. But 2 months in a row, checks came in the mail for the exact amount that we owed on our electrical bill. We said, okay, God, if you're going to be faithful in this, then how can we continue to be more generous? How can we continue to give more? Like, we want to be faithful. We don't want to just stop at the 10%. Like, what else can we do? We decided to create a generosity fund. And so each year we add to that amount a certain percentage that we grow in generosity. Because when we see someone either domestically or internationally, the two funds that we have, that we want to be able to help those people. If a friend is in need, if a family member is in need, we don't ever want to say, we can't help you. We want to be able to say, we've set money aside for just this time. And God's grown us in that. And so a decision to submit our finances to the Lord is where it starts. Now that decision will then turn to a discipline, which is the second D in beginning to sacrifice. So that decision will turn into a discipline. If you've worked out or you're on a diet or you tried to break a habit, you know that starting it is really, really hard. Continuing it's really, really hard. But the more and more you do something, the more and more it becomes a discipline. Getting up early and reading your Bible in the morning, it's a discipline. It starts with a decision to do it. It turns into a discipline. Getting to the gym, not eating or drinking certain things, breaking a hard addiction. It starts with a decision that becomes a discipline. Now watch what happens to the discipline though. The discipline, when done enough, will eventually turn into a desire. Now, this is where a lot of people want to start. People want to start with the desire. Give me the desire and then I'll make the decision. And then I'll be disciplined in the decision as long as I have the desire. It doesn't work that way. Rarely can you make a good decision based off of your desires, your feelings, your emotions? Oftentimes you go, you know what? This is the right thing to do. I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to help it turn into discipline. And then I'm going to ask that the desire will follow. So when it comes to your finances, if you are saying, okay, God, I want to be obedient to you, but I don't have the desire to do that, be obedient to God and pray he'll give you the desire. Don't wait for the desire to come. Be obedient to what God's called you to do, and then watch the desires of your heart begin to change as God aligns your heart with his. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. The one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pleasure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Cheerfully, joyfully. Like, I want to do this. This is, I see, because of all you've done for me, I now want to give. So I'm going to let some people off the hook today. Here's what I want to tell you. If you feel pressured today, if you feel under obligation today, if you feel like you're, you know, you're going to give reluctantly today, then don't give. Like, if you feel pressured to give here at Real Life Ministries, don't give. Here's what I want to tell you. Find a church that you love, that you care about, that you want to plug into, and go be a part of that church and give to it. And if it's here, we love it. We want you to be here. We want you to be all in here. But if you're going, you know what? I don't know if I want to give to that church. Then don't. Go find the church that you want to give to and go give your time, your talent, and your resources to that church. And if you want to know more about what we do with your money and the financial practices that we have and how we are accountable to the money that comes in and what our elders are responsible for here at this church, we have our membership class right after third service. We'd love to invite you to it. We'll talk about those things. You feel under obligation today? You feel reluctant? You feel pressured? Don't give. God loves a cheerful giver, but maybe you're feeling the conviction to give. You're feeling like this is an area of obedience where you need to give. Be faithful, be obedient, do what God's calling you to do. So after we've made the decision that's turned into a discipline, which then can turn into a desire, that all shapes your destiny. It shapes your destiny, it shapes your future, it shapes the future of not only your life, but the life of your kids and the life of this church. We're a church, like we do. There's oftentimes it's said, you know, the youth, the kids in the church, they're the future of the church. We don't believe that. We don't believe that the youth are the future of the church. We believe they're the future in the church. And we got to invest in our kids right now. So we put such a huge emphasis on kids ministry and serving in kids ministry and our youth ministry that takes place every Monday and Wednesday. And our young adult ministry that we just launched on Friday, where we're investing in young adults and growing up and becoming leaders and helping them grow and know the Lord. And so we're going to invest in people. And when we give faithfully, it's not just so we can turn on lights and we can have music equipment and we can have fancy things. It's not because of that. Our money is being invested in people, in our next generation, the future in the church. Those that will stand up on the stage and play music and preach sermons and lead groups and oversee ministries and impact communities. That's what we're investing in, and that's what we care about. A decision turns into a discipline, which turns into a desire, which then shapes destinies. Will you be a part of that? So church, here's what I just want you to know today. God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. This is a heart message. Where's your heart at? As these guys get ready to play, I'm just going to invite you to stand up right now. And I just want to read a passage of scripture to you and this scripture is really, really cool in that it talks about some of the blessings of giving. And next week, we're gonna talk about the blessings that come with sacrifice, how sacrifice actually leads to blessings. And God wants to bless you, and God wants to give to you. And there's blessings this side of eternity in the 70, 80 years that we have on this side of eternity. I think God has a blessing for you. I think God wants to bless you. I think he wants to bless you in all areas of your life. And we don't preach a prosperity gospel. Certainly don't say because you give, you're going to get back. I mean, God calls us to sacrifice. But I do believe with all my heart that God has a blessing for you this side of eternity. I believe God will bless your marriage. I believe God will bless your parenting. I believe God will bless your business. I believe God will bless your finances. I believe God will bless your mind, your future, your retirement. I believe God will bless all those things when we put our heart in alignment and submission to Him. He's a good Father and He loves us. Next week, we're going to talk more about that. But listen to what David wrote in this psalm, in Psalm 112. It says, "Light shines in the darkness for the godly. The godly, they are generous, compassionate, and righteous. God comes to those who lend money generously. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." Church, let me just ask you a question. I would just love if this is you, raise your hand. Who wants that to be true of them? I do. I want light to shine in the darkness for me. I want good to come to me. I want to not be overcome by evil. I want to be long remembered. I don't want to fear bad news. I want to be confident the Lord's going to take care of me. Like, I want those things. Align your heart with God's. Do what God's calling you to do. It's more about your heart than it is about your money. Right now, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And right now, maybe you're thinking, you know, I've never fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never given my heart over to God. Or maybe there's a part of your life right now where you're just going, man, Lord, there's this area, and you know what it is, but I just haven't fully surrendered to you. Maybe it's the area of finances. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your parenting. Maybe it's your marriage. Whatever that is. Maybe it's your school, your friendships. Maybe there's this area of your heart that you're still holding back from God. God wants your heart. He wants all your heart. So right now, in the quietness of your heart, would you just acknowledge that area that you haven't given over to Him? Maybe there's someone here today. In fact, I do believe there are people here today that have never fully surrendered their life to Jesus. And right now, I'm just going to simply pray a prayer of surrendering your heart to the Lord. And I'm just gonna encourage all of us to say this prayer together. And maybe you're gonna say that prayer today as a way of saying, God, there's an area that I've held back from you and I'm gonna give it over to you today. And maybe you're gonna say this prayer today because you've never surrendered your whole heart to God, and today's gonna be the day that you surrender to Jesus. So church, would you just say this with me today? Say, Jesus, today I surrender to you. My whole heart, I hold nothing back. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for giving me new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live how you've called me to live. Church, today, if you surrendered your life to Jesus, or you surrendered your whole life to Jesus, today's a fresh start. Today's a new beginning for you. Today is the day where you made the decision to be disciplined and allow your desires to shape your destiny. Today can be a new day for you and Jesus to grow in spiritual maturity and to follow Him wherever He leads us. So I'm just gonna pray for you right now. So Father, I just pray for each and every person in this room today. I pray for those that made the decision today to surrender their whole heart to you. Father, I pray that they would, without fail, that they would give over their life to you in every area of their life, their finances included in that. God, that they would fully, wholly, completely surrender to you. God, for those that made the decision to follow you today, to surrender their lives to you today, I pray that their new life would begin today and that they would surrender everything to you, their finances included. And for all of us, Jesus, we just pray in your name that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, because you are holy and holy.